We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and guide us as we meditate upon another beautiful verse which you've given us for our comfort and for the salvation of our souls. We pray that you open Scripture as only you can do it, and by your grace have us receive it into our hearts with faith. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 8. The words of the Savior to his bride. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. Come with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Kind of set the stage. The baptism of Jesus Christ is one of the most important happenings in all of history. It was at this time that the Lord Jesus officially became a representative of his people to take their sins upon himself and die for their salvation. It was on this occasion that we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together at the same place at the same time. Matthew describes the scene in chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So you had the Son of God coming up out of the water. You have the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove landing upon him. And you have the voice of the Father saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is the one. This is the one whom you've been waiting for 4,000 years. The promised seed who's going to crush the head of the serpent. This one. Identification. Immediately after Jesus was baptized, Matthew tells us, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. There were three temptations on top of that mountain in the wilderness out there. The third one is recorded in Matthew 4, beginning at verse 8. And the scene is a very high mountain. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So the scene unfolded on top of a very high mountain. What the devil showed the Savior was only part of the picture. He showed him all the glory of all the kingdoms of the world. Didn't take him into the hospital to the intensive care units. Didn't show him all the sickness and all the death in all the cemeteries. That was hidden. It was just the glory, all the glory of all the kingdoms of the world. Not surprisingly, Satan tries the same tactic against the bride of Jesus Christ. And we see it clearly here in Song of Solomon chapter 4, verse 8. Notice the names of the beautiful mountains here in this verse. Lebanon, twice mentioned. Amana, Shinar, Hermon. Beautiful mountains all. But there is danger in the midst of all the beauty. Lions and leopards are not friendly to the Lord's bride. So he calls her to come away from the beauty of this world and to be with him in his kingdom of glory. I prayed for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now let's look closer at the verse before us. Bridegroom, who has just praised the flawless beauty of his bride, and has just said to her, "Thou art all fair, my love. Now, come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon." We have here another flashback. We're not standing at the marriage altar anymore. It's a flashback now, which is common in the book of Revelation, and it's common in the book of Song of Solomon. Come with me from Lebanon. The word come, spoken by the Savior to his bride, is one of the most comforting words in the whole Bible. Sometimes he speaks it to all. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That invitation goes out to everyone. Sometimes it's spoken only to the bride. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Those words are spoken only to the bride. And the contrast, words that are spoken only to the children of the devil. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. In our text here that we're looking at, the bridegroom speaks these words only to his bride. Come with me. Again, he has just praised her flawless beauty. He's madly in love with her. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. He's madly in love with the bride. Wants to spend eternity with her in his kingdom of glory. So he gives her that loving invitation, come with me. But if the bride is going to come to her bridegroom, at the same time, she's going to have to leave the place where she is. And where she is pictured right now is a place of intense beauty. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. Come with me from Lebanon. This is the way it always has been for the elect children of God. When the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, that meant that Noah had to leave the world he was living in before he could come into the ark. There was a good reason for that. As beautiful as the world was then, even after the fall and the curse, but as beautiful as the world was then, it was soon to be destroyed by a universal flood. And all those who were in the world would perish. The Lord knew that. The only place of safety was in the ark. And the spin that the Holy Spirit gives on this in the New Testament is simply eight people were saved by the waters of the flood. But before Noah could come into the ark, he had to leave the world that he had lived in all of his life. In Genesis chapter 24, the chapter where the father, Abraham, sends his servant, type of the Holy Spirit, to find a wife for his son Isaac, type of the Heavenly Father and the Son Jesus Christ, we find the same truth. If Rebekah was going to go with a servant in order to come to Isaac, her husband, she had to leave the place where she was. Her earthly father and mother didn't much want that. They tried to delay the process. And finally, it was put to Rebekah, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, and this is by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, she said, "I will go. I'll leave the place where I was born. I'll leave the country that I've lived in all my life. I'll leave my family. I'll leave my friends to come to Isaac, my husband." As we know clearly from other parts of Scripture, this took faith. And this whole thing was a gift of God, and it's a product of the Holy Spirit. "By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of man, that no man may boast." This is of utmost importance. All the honor and glory always goes to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit right where it belongs. And anything that people teach that puts man in charge of something or doing something or contributing something is false doctrine. And it's deadly poison. Son of God clearly says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." All the honor and glory goes right to where it belongs. The bride of Jesus Christ is always fully aware of her sins and her unworthiness. There is no boasting or pride in her heart. And this is a big part of her glory, by the way. And this also is a product of the Holy Spirit working through His Word. Moving on. "Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon." The bride here is pictured as being on the top of these mountains. And in the Holy Land, at least at the time that this is being written, we can be certain that these mountains were very beautiful places. And the view from the tops of these mountains would be splendid beyond words. It would make a person feel very close to God. Many times in our early nature retreats, we used to hike up to the top of Brady Bluff in Pearl State Park. And those of you who have done that know what a beautiful view you have from the top of Brady Bluff. But that's only about 250 feet above the level of the river. These mountains were much, much higher than that. And the view from the top of these mountains would have been splendid beyond words. It would make a person feel close to God. And these mountains mentioned in the Song of Solomon were probably some of the most beautiful places in the whole world. You could see for miles and miles and miles. A little bit of information on that Scripture gives us on, for example, Mount Hermon. Psalm 89, verse 11 says this: "The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them." And then the next verse: "The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name." So there, Mount Hermon is mentioned along with all the other stuff, the beautiful thing. Psalm 133, opening verses. Behold how good and how pleasant it is, brethren, to dwell, for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, he was the high priest, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Now verse 3, as the dew of Hermon, Mount Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So Hermon was a place of blessing from God. Eternal life was given from Hermon, like dew coming down. Beautiful, beautiful. Mount Shinar, four hits only in Scripture. Ezekiel 27, verse 5 says this, They have made all thy shipboards of fir trees of Sinar. They have taken cedars from Lebanon to make masts for thee. He's talking about a country that lived off the ocean and trading, and the ships were made of fir trees that they found on Mount Sinar. Beautiful, beautiful trees and cedars from Lebanon. We know that cedars from Lebanon were used to construct the temple and the tabernacle. What about Mount Amana? One hit in all Scripture, and that's in this verse. What do you think that tells us? I thought of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Usually, and I almost said always, when there's a one-time usage in Scripture, there's a mystery connected with it. It's beyond our wildest dreams. We can't begin to imagine how beautiful it must have been on top of Mount Amana. Exceeding abundantly of all we can ask or think. That's what the bridegroom has for his bride. We can't even begin to imagine it. How glorious is going to be? Mount Lebanon, delightful place. Lebanon is called that goodly mountain. Deuteronomy 3:25. I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. Lebanon is often mentioned in Scripture for her excellent beauty. It was profitable for cedar wood and sweet smell because of all the flowers that grew there. The tops of these mountains are mentioned because of their height and their beauty. And the bride is here pictured as being on top of them. Beautiful, beautiful, breathtaking views, feeling so close to God. But the problem is that there were lions and leopards there. Come with me from the lion's dens and from the mountains of the leopards. The Amplified Bible translates it beautifully this way. Song of Solomon 4, verse 8. Come away with me from Lebanon, my promised bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Depart from the top of Amana and from the peak of Sinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Again, depart from the top of Amana. Depart from the peak of Sinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens. Depart from them. Depart from the mountains of the leopards. Mount Hermon was called the Park Place. It was so beautiful. Jutted out into the Mediterranean Sea, surrounded by water on three sides. Extremely beautiful. But there was danger there. Lions and leopards are found in these mountains of prey. In the world that we're living in, where there is beauty, there is very often also great danger. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 17 reads this way, "For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee." Well, Lebanon, that's so beautiful. Yeah, but there's violence there. There's lion's dens there. And it's a mountain of the leopards. "For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts which made them afraid because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land of the city and all that dwell therein." These mountains, just like that exceedingly high mountain that the devil took Christ to tempt him, these mountains represent the very, very best that this world has to offer. And Solomon, who wrote the book of the Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, also wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And that starts out, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity." That's the summary of the world. And the bridegroom knows that, and he wants to call his bride away from that. Just as Noah was called away from the world into the ark before the world was destroyed by water, so the bride is being called away from the beauties of the world, which is going to be destroyed by fire. Son of God knows that. The bridegroom knows that. So he calls his bride to himself. Very often in Scripture, heathen are compared to wild beasts. One example would be Psalm 57, verse 4. Words of our Savior, but also the words of his bride. "My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword." These are the lions' dens and the mountains of the leopards that we're talking about here in Song of Solomon. These mountains are pleasant enough if you only look with the human eye, but they're also dangerous if you look with the eye of the Spirit. Psalm 76, verse 4, "Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey." Christ went into the mountains to pray often, but not this kind of prey. P-R-E-Y, the mountains of prey, the mountains where the wild animals dwell, the lions and the leopards. Fisherman, who speaks from experience, says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He knows whereof he speaks. A few passages that relate to what we're looking at. John 12, verse 31. "Now," the words of the Savior, "now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." The prince of this world. John 14, 30. "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me." John 16, 11. "Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Ephesians 2, verse 2, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." There is spiritual enemy. There are spiritual enemies, and there is spiritual danger everywhere in this world that you can't see with the human eye. And we would not know this unless the Holy Spirit revealed it to us. "Come with me from." The point being, the bride must leave the best that the world has to offer in order to come with Christ into his kingdom of glory. We've got to remember that. She must look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. They're not seen with a human eye, but they're seen very clearly with the eye of faith, because they're revealed in the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. So the marching orders for the bride is simply this, and I'm in Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And that's higher than the highest mountain you can find on this earth. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. In this world, the most beautiful places have defects in them. And the most beautiful mountains have lions lodging there and leopards. Now, it's true that God has given us many things on this earth during our lifetime here to enjoy, and we can enjoy them and we should enjoy them. But let's be very, very sure that they don't take first place in our heart. We must always love the giver more than the gift. And as soon as we start loving the gift more than the giver, we're lost. And that was the temptation on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration, or the Mount of Temptation for Christ, and it is for us too. Our attitude is the same as is mentioned in Philippians 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The best that the world has to offer amounts to a pile of manure, and that's it. Philippians 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. There is nothing that we should be more careful about than taking excessive enjoyment of created things. It is not by accident that the third and final temptation on top of that mount that the devil threw at Christ was all the glory of all the things of the world. And three little words. Remember Lot's wife. We don't want to make the same mistake she did. Physically running towards safety, but her heart was right back in Sodom. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. Savior's got that right. Contrast Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Here it talks about the mountain of God that is established above all these earthly mountains. High, high, high above them. That's where we want to be. Psalm 10, verse 9. A few extra verses just thrown in here. He lieth in wait secretly, the children of the devil, as a lion in his den. There were lions up there. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth them into his net. The contrast is in the kingdom of Christ. Isaiah 35, verse 9. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. We want to walk on the mountain of God, not the mountain of Lebanon or Amana or Shinar or Hermon, where there are lions' dens and mountains of the leopards. Psalm 132, beginning at verse 13, the Lord hath chosen Zion. That was a mountain, by the way, Mount Zion. The Lord has chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. Come. We've mentioned this before. Psalm 45 is very, very parallel with Song of Solomon. So we'll let the Holy Spirit end this sermon by the words of Psalm 45, verses 10 to the end. Read this way. Hearken, O daughter. This is God the Father talking here. Hearken, O daughter, and consider. Think about this, and incline thine ear. Three things. Hearken, consider, incline thine ear. What's she supposed to listen to? Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and thou shalt worship him. He's also her husband. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. This is the wedding altar. The virgins, her companions, angels maybe? Holy angels? The virgins, her companions, that follow her shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Okay, now she gave up a lot. She gave up her own people, left her father's house. This is what she receives in return. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Eternal kingdom of glory. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. Come with me from Lebanon, from the top of Amana, and from the top of Shinar and Hermon. Come with me away from the lions' dens and the mountains of the leopards.